Get ready.
I'm trying to get to my Wikipedia page where Akiba Ranger was at.
Josh, what are you talking about?
I'm making references to the Red Letter Media Star Wars reviews.
Oh, okay.
What about him?
Something he said in the chat is, I guess it's something that they said in one of those reviews.
You guys should really watch them. They're pretty
good.
Aren't those
like 3 hours long?
Yeah.
That's why it happened.
So, did
we mention that the Nostalgia Critic is done in the last review?
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
What, really?
You read my mind.
Yeah. I guess it's because he mentioned reviews, but...
Yeah. Well, he's not stopping doing reviews. They got another project he's wanting to do, but, I mean, for... 4 years of doing like the same formula over and over, it's like, yeah, I need to do something different.
Yeah, and it's not like, you know, with the Angry Video Game Nerd, he takes a lot of breaks, and even at his peak, he was doing them once every 2 weeks. But this guy's been doing it once every week for years, so, you know, it must get kind of tiring to have that kind of regimen.
I just, like, saw, like, couple minutes of the video, and then I just stopped it, and then I watched his, and then I watched Sage's Feet of Fury, the motion picture review. And he summed up that as, it's not the best anime in the world, but it's definitely better than the worst thing Obari's ever done. And I'm like, yes, that is completely true. There's even stuff Obari has done that I have not even seen, and I'm like, I don't know if I should or not.
So, what are we gonna be doing next week?
Next week's the last, what, Saturday of September?
Yeah, but we have, like, I think this is going to go out on October 1st, right? This episode we're doing right now?
Roughly, yeah. I still haven't edited the Palabra episode, which I'll just put that out next week sometime.
Yeah, so... I mean, that's going to eat into whatever our theme month is in October, which is Obari, right?
Yeah. I mean, we try. I mean, it doesn't really have to be, like, per part of the month. I mean, as long as we keep it about a month or so, I'm good with that.
There are five Mondays in October, so we should be good.
Okay. I mean, I've been trying to post stuff on Mondays.
Yeah.
And, I would count Akiba Ranger and I guess the Excel World and Mysterious Girlfriend as kind of a special episode, or that's what I was thinking about counting it as.
I'll
be able to work something out.
Now, the way we're doing this episode, is the Akiba Ranger review going to be before or after the other part?
Do you think it should be before?
Yeah, I think before.
Okay, I can do that.
That's fine.
Because the subject matter of Mysterious Girlfriend might drive some people away.
It's true. It might.
Yeah.
Yeah, we might as well, like, you know, hey, we'll put something up that I know you guys want to hear instead of putting something up that you want to just make yourself fast forward.
Oh, Spit Girl and Saliva Boy.
Yeah, you might want to, in the description, put what times the XL World part starts at if people want to not hear about Spit.
Well, yeah, I can do that.
We call it the Drool Duo.
That's horrible, Steve.
That's not a group I would want to be part of.
Fantastic Duo, there you go.
The what?
The Drooltastic Duo. No, like the Dynamic Duo.
Or the Ambiguously Gay Duo.
No, because we know that they're not gay. Although for a couple that, you know, are supposed to eventually fuck at some point near the end of the series, you know, I don't see any uglies bumping. See, I see a lot of fingers going in mouth stuff and everybody going, "Ooh, wow, I'm blushing." But it's
implied. So, I mean,
yeah, you know, I don't want to see implied. I want to see humpity bumpity on the bed.
Oh, okay. I just figured it out. I thought you were talking about you and Amanda were the Drool Duo because you both reviewed the. But then you're talking about good, it.
Yeah. That would really go over well, especially since I'm married.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, it'd be like you and Amanda reviewing that is like, you know, Wheel of Fortune. I mean, they've been friends for a long time, so like she's the Ivana White to this podcast, so to speak. But she actually talks instead of just looking pretty.
Yeah. Or she could be for this episode. She could be our Momo Zoikun. The MMZ01.
Oh yeah. Wait, what did you just say? Like I thought it was ZQ. You were like Zakoon or something.
No, just the MMZ01.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at that on Wikipedia. I should know that. If I can only read right. I take it we are recording, right, yep. John?
Yeah.
Okay, no surprise there. Josh, would you like to... Josh, do you want to start us off?
How should I start?
That's CG. There you go.
This podcast is pain, or pain is podcasting.
Yes.
Podcast is pain. Deal with it.
I'm just trying to figure this out because this is a very odd series to talk about.
What is it?
Okay, so Unofficial Sentai Akiba Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
It's...
To protect Akihabara from the evil...
Yeah, from the evil, like...
Melsina and the Stemma Utsu Corporation.
Yeah, the licensing Dr. firm B.
Well, yeah. And Dr. C comes in later.
Yes, but... Okay, so to describe the series, basically, it's one big parody of everything Sentai. to put it lightly, well, yeah. And not just Sentai. I mean, it's a parody of like everything otaku. I mean, you got the main character; he's the really like obsessive fanboy character.
Yeah, he's into toys and spending all his hard-earned delivery boy money on because he delivers stuff on a bicycle. And he like will wear his like red, you know, vest jacket for his job, and like puts a sticker over it, and wears like a scarf, because he thinks he's in a Sentai show. And this dude's like 29 years old, so they consider him like the old man of the series.
Oh my god!
Yeah, and then of course like he goes around town thinking he's like, you know, the ultra badass when he's just got to deliver like, you know, a UPS package to some office building, but he makes it like this huge thing. But then he'll drive around like and go past like collection stores where like they're selling like, you know, this one of a kind transformable like robot from a Sentai show that's like well out of his budget, and he like wants to sit there and it's like, "I'm going to get you one day. You'll be in my collection."
It's so cheap, so expensively cheap.
Was that the first thing that he saw? No, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess if it's something, I mean, if it's something's a deal, I mean, you can I don't blame him for like, oh man, it's such a good price.
Well, no, it's like he was saying that it was cheap when it was like really expensive.
You said sheep.
Okay.
He did not say sheep.
He did. He did say sheep.
It's so sheep. Okay, so we have him as Akiba Red. Akiba Blue is kind of not really into the otaku stuff. She's like a normal kind of schoolgirl. Like you get plenty of panty shots with her.
She's the closet otaku. Like she doesn't want people to know she's an otaku because like they'll talk about something. She's like, yeah, I actually know that series. I started watching it and I kind of like it. But she'll say it like really low. She's like, she doesn't want anybody else to know that she's like, you know, reads a manga series or something.
Guys,
then she tries to defend herself. Like, I only read it for the fights.
Right.
And then we got the other girl who's the cosplay otaku. Like, she was in like the cat ear thing for the first couple of episodes, and then she just started changing outfits for like no reason. Well, she's into cosplay, so that's her thing.
She's a professional cosplayer. So,
Dustin, have you noticed that some of this actually kind of sort of like is like, what if Genshiken was a Sentai Ranger group?
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, huh?
Well, also the cosplay girl, like, I mean, we're bad with names, but they have names in this show. Like, she's also has like a big. Yaoi Yuri thing going on. She has like a closet. She has something in her closet, like regarding like all these like, you know, doujinshi romantic novels and stuff. And she's like, you don't need to look at that. Where she goes into like, what is it, like the episode where like her mom like and her hang out, like she like discovers like a Yuri or Yaoi book, and she's like really tempted on buying it or something. Or I think somebody was trying to autograph stuff or something. Do you remember that episode?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I guess now that we've covered the main team, we should... Well, and actually going on with the... Actually with the main team, there's also their commander who's... Hakase.
Gesundheit.
Her name's like Professor Dr. Hakase.
She just like spent, she's like what, 24, and she apparently spent like 20 years in college to get those doctorates, because like that's a lot of time to be a professor and a doctor.
So what, she went ahead and traveled with, you know, the Gallifreyan Express, you know, college fund or something like that?
Possibly. Maybe the school grants in Japan are really good if you can go to college at like age 10 or something.
That'd be something.
Yeah. I don't think Japan uses a lottery fund, like, or, well, South Carolina has an education lottery, which that pays for my school, so I do have to give credit for the dumb, retarded rednecks who want to win $200 million, which they never will. But that's, hey, all right. all that money pays off. So
indeed.
And moving on to the villains, we have Malashina, who's I don't know how to put it. She's
really hot,
really, really busty. Her actress was actually a porn star. I mean, I'm not kidding. Like, she
really,
actually, yeah, that's, yeah. There's actually awesome porn of her actress. So,
I'm obviously not looking up porn on her right now on the internet, even though. But like, go ahead and continue. Yeah. I just want to
look at my word.
So, shut up! Don't judge me.
Don't judge me.
her name, I think, is actually Malashina, is actually the Japanese pronunciation for the copyright symbol. So, or Malashi, or,
yeah, I see it.
Malashina.
Yeah. And her higher up, we'll get into later, Dr. Z.
Of the Stenmaatsu Corporation.
Yeah. So, beginning with episode 1, as you said, Akagi goes around, he's like making deliveries, trying to act like a badass. So then Hakase comes up to him in a car, and he's and she's like, "Hey, do you want to join our Sentai team?" And he's like, "What? A Sentai team? When do you guys start filming?" Oh, this isn't a show. No. I'm okay. You don't have to give me the script right now. So
she's like, "We pay in like soda
and
firecrackers. That's not important. I'm in a Sentai group. That's all I care about. Thank you for asking me."
Hockey.
So and they've already gotten Akiba Blue first, and then they get Akiba Yellow, and she brings them to her Sentai Cafe, which is like this cafe that's just filled with all these like Sentai merchandise and DVDs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, like, then they also props. got that coworker there, which her job is to entertain like otaku that come in there by her singing like karaoke versions of songs, and they're like, "Oh man, she is so good at singing."
Oh yeah. There's like they're almost
come
all
on,
the
she
time,
wasn't that great.
Like almost all the time, there's like these like middle-aged otaku just sitting around gushing over the girls in the cafe.
Hey, I think I resemble that remark.
Yes, you do. So then she unveils these three guns that are modeled after these, after this anime character called like Mo Zukuni, I don't know.
Hey.
What it was called?
Well, I was gonna say I'm looking up IMDb of the chick who played Maoshima, and she's credited as being in Machine Girl.
She has a Wikipedia page too.
What?
She has a Wikipedia page too. I'm looking at all the. It's got like dozens of movies by her. She's been in a lot of stuff.
Well, apparently, like according to the IMDb, she got her debut in 2004. I guess. Yeah, I'm still researching this person. But wait, what was your question, Josh? I mean, it, not to sound like it wasn't important, but it kind of wasn't since I'm looking this actress up. But no, ask it again.
No, I was trying to remember what the name of the fake anime that they watch.
Hang on.
Hey, speaking of watching anime and media, I saw Johnny Mnemonic the other day, and they were watching Demon City Shinjuku and that.
Yeah, that's an anime that's like pretty much like that, or that's the movie that everyone's like, oh, you know, Demon City is in that movie.
Yeah,
but it's like just brief clips of it too. Like,
yeah, well,
because
like,
I think the last. Oh, go ahead.
He's getting like the info put into his head, and they're showing it in like the background.
He's like, I store 360 gigs of memory, and I think it's like 90% of it is just the same copies of Demon City Shinjuku in his head.
Yeah, probably. And it's
the actual file of like how to cure like the plague cancer is like 2 megabytes, and the rest of it is just Demon City Shinjuku.
Yeah, the cure to whatever it was, cerebral palsy or whatever, is just a bunch of anime. It's gonna
It was like the black shakes or something like that. Yeah. And they like the doctor guy's like, "Yeah, man, it's all contagious. It's everywhere, man. You can get it from anything. There's no hope for the future, man. Don't touch the toilet seat, man." It's on that too.
Okay.
Go ahead, Josh.
I was going to say, the answer to your question, the anime show within a show is the anime character is Z-Kun Aoi.
Yeah, that was it.
Okay.
Okay, so she unveils.
The MM701.
She unveils these guns that. I'm hearing an echo.
Well, I heard it there.
I heard it for a second too, but now it's gone.
Okay. So she unveils these figures of the main character, and she's like, "These are the Momozukuns, and they're your
Momozukuns, the MM701 Momozukuns."
I thought it was Z-Kun because it kept calling it Z-Kun in the show.
No, they're making a 1.1 scale model of it. It's going to cost about $170.
It's already out, I think.
You might be right.
I think it's out, but I haven't seen like any review videos because anyone who's going to post a video on YouTube about it is probably not going to be able to afford it.
Give
or maybe
second.
They just stole it.
So she's like, okay, you can use these guns to transform, and they all fire the thing, it turns into a gun and everything, and it makes all this like noise, and then they're transformed into the Akiba Rangers, and they're suddenly transported to this warehouse, and they're like, oh cool, we're superheroes now. And she's, and then they start training, and then so a bit later though, they're walking through town, and suddenly they get into a fight with Malashina and her Monster of the Week, and it, all the names in this series for the Monsters of the Week are just ridiculously long.
Oh no, yeah, I want to try pronouncing some of these names. Give me a sec, because I want to try the first one, because I remember reading that, and I was like, oh my god.
The Tentacle Squid Monster from Porn X.
No, that's not the name, but actually, that could be the name. I don't know. Hold on, give me a sec. I'm going to try to pronounce the first name the best I can. Because I'm reading it, I'm looking at it, and I'm reading it in my head. I'm like, I guess that's not too hard, but it's going to sound really stupid when it comes out of my mouth.
Yeah, especially right. Since you used to call Benajer Bernard. So, if
yeah, look who's pronouncing Japanese words. All right, no, don't need like equipment. There's characters. Okay, the first one, it's a chief clerk or a Masuborgs. It's Shibuya Setakawada Chi Sohigen Aga Abura Mushi something.
Yeah, it's his whole name.
Can I get that to go?
But then the next one, like the next one is like a Shibuya Kozorin Higen Ganabura Mushi.
What do these mean?
It's like three or four words. Like it's like translates to Picard Alphid, and the first one was like a red goldenrod Alphid.
What's an Alphid?
Which I don't know.
Oh.
There's no Wikipedia link on it. No, there is. I just gotta click it.
It's a bug.
Aphid? Oh, it is. Like the things that ladybugs eat or whatever?
Oh, they're aphids. Okay.
So the villains are insects.
Well, not all of them. Some of them are like...
robots?
You're looking about maybe...
Well, some of them are robots. Some of them are like... I don't know, like...
About 50% of it's insects. You've got 25% being robotics. You've got...
There's a few like...
15% of them are female of one particular species or another. And the other 10 are just off the wall, just crud.
Okay. Well, there is a llama in there.
A llama. Okay. That's
Or
an alpaca.
Well, they try teaching him how to be like a better villain because he's so pathetic, and then he winds up like whooping on him.
That reminds me of when Cloud linked to that Sentai. I don't know which one it was, but it was some opening, and it had like a hamster in it randomly.
That might have been, I think, Hurricaneer. There was a hamster in Ninja Storm, which is the one that was opposite.
Yeah.
It's very weird. though, of course, we're talking about a Keeper Ranger, so I guess can't be any weirder than that. So, as I was saying, so they're fighting this Shibuya, blah, blah, blah. So they defeat him, and then it's like, wait a minute. He's going to turn into a giant monster. We got to wait. And they wait and wait and wait until sunset. And then they're just sitting there like, what the hell? Where is it? So they untransform, and it's like, then Hakase says, oh, none of this is real. None of this is real at all. You were just in a delusion. And it's just like, what? So we're not really Sentai warriors? No, you're not. None of this is real. And this is the first episode, so you already get hit by that bombshell in the first episode.
Well, they always try they always got that special technique where it's pain is power, and then they do their whole dance routine, and then explosions go off, and they're all scared of it. And he's like, yeah, explosions.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. So the next episode picks up right after that. Akagi is all depressed, like he wanted to be Akiba Red, but he isn't really. So he goes around town moping, and Maoshina attacks again. Akiba Blue and Yellow get their asses kicked. And then as Akagi is wandering around and he's not responding to his cell phone because he's all depressed, suddenly he sees Deca Red. Oh, wait, no, sorry. Before that, as he's moping around, he sees Deca Red's actor from Deca Ranger. And he's like, he's like having delusion. He's like, I want to be your apprentice. And it turns out the actor really is there. And he's like, sorry, I'm not really a ranger.
Lies and poppycock.
Yeah, he's just like weird ass, like, okay, dude, back off.
I'm just an actor in a kid's show.
I'm just an actor. I'm just in the area to promote Power Rangers SPD, which was actually being dubbed at the time that this show came out. So then a little later, he sees Deca Red in, like, the costume, and he's like, oh, this can't be real. This has to be another delusion. Then he gets kicked in the chest, and he's like, oh my god, he's real! And Deca Red's like, well, he's trying to, like, doing charades, like, you need to see the light, like, pointing at, like, a seed and pointing at the sun, and he's like, oh, thank you, Deca Red, I'll be a hero! And then he transforms and does everything. It's like, Oh, and then he gets, this is where kind of the toys kind of seep into this. He suddenly gets the power of Deca Red and his Deca Wrappers, these giant handcuffs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, and that's actually in the toy line, like the figures, like the Deca Red comes with that, and then you can use it with Akiba Red and everything. So third episode is where we get into Akiba Yellow's Yaoi obsession.
Was that the episode where they drank to become better fighters?
Yes,
which works.
Yes.
That's got to be my favorite episode, because, like, they show up, like, when they had their thing, and, like, him and no, it was, like, it was, yeah, I think it was the guy in Akiba Yellow that were drunk, and, like, the Blue was there, but, like, she's the one who wound up saving them.
Yeah,
in the battle.
She's too young to drink, so she, instead of going off to bar, she decided to go off to this DVD store, and she watched some Bokenger.
Oh, the other thing I wanted to point out was, like, the guy who plays Akiba Red in this has a girl he's like and like has a crush on, and doesn't he, like, he meets her at a bar or something, I think, to try to ask her out or something, or I wasn't sure if he saves her.
Yeah, well, what happened was, like, he was at a bar with his coworkers, and she was at the bar with her coworkers, and
yeah,
and he sees her, and he kind of hides, and he's listening in on them, and all friends are like, oh, you gotta get a, what, do you have a boyfriend and everything, and he's like, oh, geez, she probably, she's cute enough, and okay, so it's like, oh, she's too cute to not have a boyfriend, and she's like, oh, I don't have a boyfriend, and he's like, what?
Yeah.
Reaction on his face was priceless. So okay, then after a while they get plaster, him and Akiba Yellow just get plastered. And then they start fighting this one guy that's like, he's like this really, like, I don't know how I would put it. He's definitely like a character you would see in a yaoi, the way he acts.
Oh yeah, that was the monster of the week thing. But then she kept, like, it was a recurring thing where this events kept repeating itself four or five times.
Yeah,
where
okay.
Like,
he would.
She would. Yeah, go ahead.
Red save. Well, would save who he thought was the girl that he really likes from the monster of the week, and then suddenly she shoots him in the face, and it turns out to be Malshina.
Are you talking about where Malshina was disguised as Sayaka?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he goes to rescue her, and she kept shooting him in, like, in the face after five or six times.
But Mitsuki was there.
Yeah, but then Akiba Yellow kept being, like, seduced by the guy, by the Aoi guy.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, man, I'm going to get his penis or something. Like,
the best part of that was, like, where she, like, did – she was having all these, like, really yaoi thoughts, and then she was like she squealed at the top of her lungs, and like there's this huge explosion behind her. she definitely came, for lack of
a lot.
So then
wow,
Akiba Blue comes in, and she beats the guy by summoning Boken Red with his Boken shovel thing. And so they defeat him, and at the end of the episode, she's like, okay, I can't do this anymore. And they're like, what? But then she reveals the next episode, I'm just not going to be here for the next few days. You guys don't have to worry. I'll be back. You guys just don't get into a delusion in the next few days.
Oh, right.
And Red and Yellow decide to go out on the town like, hey, we're going to just distract ourselves. We're going to have fun doing stuff. So they go to this dress shop, and Akiba Yellow's trying out all these outfits, and eventually Akiga finds like these Sentai outfits in there, and he starts having all these like he just goes through like every girl in the show and like imagines them in the most like seductive clothing that he can imagine.
It's more like some of those like where the clothing you would find like those fantasy animes where it's just breastplate and something like thin, and that's it, because that's like all fantasy girls wear. And then like he gets yelled at or something, and he's like, oh, where was I?
And like before that, he was imagining like three Malashinas and like the most skimpiest outfits, and he was like, and Yellow's like, hey, can you hand me the next outfit? And he's like, okay. Then the monster of the week comes in, and they get into a fight, but they're like, wait, we can't transform. Blue's not going to be here. And it's like, then they get forced into the fight. And as they're fighting, Akiba Blue, or her, so they think, comes into the fight and starts fighting them.
Yeah.
After they go through this whole fight, and they're trying to like convince her that, well, they're trying to, they think that it's like one of those brainwashed episodes. So they're like, they're trying to get her unbrainwashed. Then the real Akiba Blue comes in, and the fake one turns out to be Malshina, and they go through that fight. Before I go any farther, I'd like to say that this series I can easily kind of split up into four, like, three-episode chunks.
Like arcs?
Yeah, sort of arcs. The first arc, which is the first three episodes, kind of, like, sets everything up. The way that the delusions work and everything. The second arc, 4 through 6, is kind of like focusing on Blue and Yellow, because the first arc was kind of more on Red. So going on that, episode 5 is the episode which it's kind of the Mother's Day episode. This did air like.
Well, yeah, I did air about Mother's Day because, like, for this one, Akiba Yellow's mom comes into town, and she used to be, like, this cosplay queen back in the day or something. So that's just, like, girls – it's like a girls' day out kind of thing for them to go shopping. And, of course, they had to clean up the Akiba Yellow's apartment to, like, make it non-otaku, or at least that's what Akiba Red thought.
Yeah,
and then he winds up, like, the mother's the exact same as hers. And he's like, well, what's the point of that?
Well, I loved the scene when he was trying to clean up her apartment, like he found this hug pillow of Zukun, and he was like, when I was trying to clean up my room last week, my mom tried to throw this same kind of hug pillow out.
Wow.
I guess it was too dirty to put in the wash, so it was better to throw it out.
Oh!
More like burn it.
That's a good idea.
And then he walked out after they kicked him out because he was getting in the way of them cleaning up. Then he barged back in and he's like, "It's like, Yumeria, do you have a boyfriend?" And then she just smacks him upside the head. And he's like, no, wait, you're 23, your mom's probably going to try to get you hooked up with some other guy. So if I pretend to be your boyfriend, her marriage proposal thing won't go through. And then it turns out there's no marriage proposal. Her mother's just like a big cosplay freak, and it's Yumeria's birthday.
Yes, Yumeria.
But then, like, later in the episode, and Good Echo is back.
Yeah, it is.
Are we talking about where Yumeria goes ahead and actually reveals that she's really into Yuri?
No, it was the previous episode 3.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this one, like the battle, it has Yellow's mom like really helping her like fight to her potential and become a better fighter and everything.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Her transformation roll call is like the seductive MILF.
Oh, yeah.
Seductive MILF?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if I go that far, but.
Okay. Well, the show did.
Yeah.
So basically the whole episode is like Yumeria and her mom going out and having fun for her birthday and then getting into the fight. And then after the fight's done, they go back and it turns out they never left the apartment. And her mom was just a delusion because her mother died like 2 years earlier. This episode, this ending, I really feel like it was out of place with the rest of the series.
Like, it's like out of sync.
Yeah, it's just like, it's way too serious. It's just way too of a much of a downer. Because it's like, suddenly, her mom's been dead for like...
I thought it was like 5 years or something. Something like that.
And it really bothered me even more, like, at the end, like, they're at the cafe, and they're just, like, trying to cheer her up. And then they're bringing out this cake, and suddenly this guy trips and, like, smacks her in the face with the cake, and that's the way that the episode ends. And to best describe it, I was showing this episode the other day at the college student lounge, my college's student lounge, and someone mentioned that this is, like, a perfect Bulk and Skull moment. It was just the cake.
Oh.
yeah, all they know is Power Rangers. So let's see, what was the next episode? Oh yeah, the next episode was the one where they go to the Toei Studios.
Was that the one where they fought? No, wait, was that the one where they fought that guy who was like the monster of the week was like a stage director or something? Was that episode or was that another one?
This episode.
That it was this episode? I didn't like that episode too much. I thought it was pretty stupid.
Well, yeah, but basically, well, what this episode is focused around is, Blue is like, Red and Yellow, and like really hyped up and like testing like all these. Well, they had their roll call and everything smacked out, but Yellow to a lesser extent, but Blue hadn't really taken her job keep up seriously before she met this guy at Toy Studio. Can't remember his name exactly. He's really a really important guy in the Let me see.
Well, he was in the shows, and he was like teaching them how to fight, and so she learned like how to fight with a sword or a bouken very well, and she used that to win the battle at the end of the episode.
Yeah, Tsuo Nibori. He was the suit actor for almost all of the Red Rangers prior. Well, he was all the Red Rangers up the one that was prior to the one that got adapted as Mighty Morphin.
So, okay.
Yeah, so he never appeared in any of the Power Rangers stuff, but he's like really famous because he was in everything before that. So he was training these students, and she's like, I'm Aqua Blue, and he's like, what? They're already adapting the next Sentai? Because this was like only a month or two after the current one premiered. So he was like, okay, I'll teach you how to be a better actor. And his first lesson is that you can't see through the helmet, so you need to be blindfolded at practice. And she's like, well, I can perfectly fine through the helmet. What are you talking about? But and then she learns about how the only thing that can be seen, well, the cameras, like the way into the world. So this comes into play. They fight the guy that's the stage director, because they end up being like the camera crew and fight him using his own techniques against him. Like,
yeah.
Flips in the air, like nowhere, well, not even touching him, but because the camera's angled in a way that makes it look like it, he gets damaged. So, and then they get the power of Red Hawk, who is the main ranger jet, which is the one before Ranger, Power Rangers, so on. Yeah, it wasn't really, this was more focused.
Hey, Josh, you're like breaking up really bad. Like, you'll talk, you know, like fade in and cut in and cut out all the time.
really bad just now.
Like, I've been hearing it for, like, 5 minutes ever since he's been talking.
Oh. Okay. Is it working now?
You sound fine now, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, moving on to episode 7. Okay, I haven't really seen these episodes as recently, but if you... this is the one with the... Oh, yeah, yeah, as I was saying, the 3-episode arcs, 7 through 9, I would say is kind of like, I would say it's kind of like the real world arc, sort, well, not really exact, it's kind of like the transition.
The slice of life?
No, it's more like, I would say in a way it's kind of like, if I had to compare it to Digimon, it would be the Myotismon arc, kind of. It starts off going through the delusion world, but it slowly seeps into the real world. But basically, so there's this thing with these vampires they find. And there's this spider chief. Yeah, as I said, I haven't seen this one in a while. So making a long story short, basically they end up fighting the spider guy. Their delusion world starts breaking apart, and they get transported, and they end up in the middle of the city, in the middle of Akihabara.
Wait, is this the episode where, like, they run into that crowd and the crowd sees them fight and they start, like, taking pictures and stuff?
No, that was the next episode.
Oh, okay.
This is the one where they first end up in the real world for real. So they fight the guy, they got the mech, the mech followed them into the real world, and it takes, like, the sign, and the sign, like, transforms into this gun. We haven't talked about the mech yet.
No, we haven't. Like, okay, so the mech is a car that's like, what, a Toyota Prius or something?
Yeah.
It's something compact. And, like, it only shows up in a couple episodes. But, like, they get it, like, episode 2 or episode 3. And then, like, Akibard Red tries to command it to do something. And they're like, the show hasn't gone long enough where you can command this robot to do something. And then you see the robot just run off.
Yeah.
and so they had to fight the battle without the robot. And I was like, oh, come on. And then, of course, like, the robot gets these, like, yeah, like what Josh was saying, like, grab one of the signs, and the sign turned into an actual, like, Gundam machine gun. And starts using that as a weapon.
Yeah. But basically, then so after they fight the thing, they're like, wait a minute, are we in the real world? They look around and they see themselves, like, the outside
delusion.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
They see themselves, like, running, and they're like, they have, like, this brain explosion, and then they're suddenly back in their own bodies because they became, like, self-aware. They're like, wait, what? Like,
yeah, because they start running, and, like, their characters are, like, running into a wall, basically, and they're like, wait, what? And so as soon as they touch them, they get out of, like, their delusion or something like that.
Yeah, and after this all happened, oh, what I forgot to mention at the end of episode 6, Malashina becomes real. Like, she finds, like, a drawing on this wall, and she realizes it's her, and then she's able to leave the delusion, and she's going around town making things real now. So after all of this, everyone in Akihabara and, like, across Japan starts finding out about them. And next episode, they get a package from they get, like, a letter from Toei Studios. Like, and they're like, hey, we want you to make, like, a series based off of you.
But it's a trap. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're like, wait, we can't transform unless we're in the delusion, and we have to make the delusion break us out like last time. So they go out, they go into the delusion, they find this chief clerk, Tsukima Alpaca, and he's like the most pathetic thing because he can't fight for shit, and they're like, no, we'll train you to fight us so we can beat you so we can go into the real world. So they go through this training montage that's based off, like, all these Sentai training episodes. And Malashina's just, like, sitting in the real world, and she's, like, smoking a cigarette, like, when the hell are they going to get to fight? So then they go through this – well, eventually they actually do get into a fight with Alpaca, and he breaks through the barrier of the world, and they end up in the middle of this crowd who all start taking pictures of everything, and they form – I think this is the episode where they first form their, like, cannon thing out of the –
oh, yeah, out of the handcuffs, the shovel, and that other thing. Because they have to fly to catch him or something in the air.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so... and then they... Well, after the battle, they stick around to take pictures and everything. And Yumeria hands out these, like, business cards.
Oh, business cards, yeah.
And one of the business cards ends up with this shady man that's got his hood up or something, and he walks off. And so at the end of the during this episode, the, like, B plot of the episode is that Hakase is finding out about Zukun, and she finds out, well, she's doing some research on the side, and she finds out that Malashina was the original design for was originally supposed to be the main character of Zukun Aoi. And So it's like, and she finds out that her father designed, like, the character designs for Zoo-Kun Alley. So
right.
She's trying to piece together how her father, who's disappeared, and Mao Sheena fit together. So after, was this the episode where? No, I think that was the next episode. But at the end of this episode, she decides that it's time to disband the Akiba Rangers, because, like, she's starting to realize that things are getting a bit too real.
I was gonna point out, like, her whole journey to find her father, like, apparently the story behind that is, like, he was a scientist, but at the same time he drew a lot in high school, and he was like, well, I'm gonna be an animator and make my own anime show. And apparently he was working on Zoo-Kun, and apparently, like, it's all these ideas that he had kept getting rejected. So, and apparently he couldn't use that money he made from working at an animation studio to pay bills or his child support for the girl who runs it. So he had to go back to being a scientist, which he winds up creating the whole, like, delusion world and everything. So,
yeah,
which we're about to talk about that anyway. So I just kind of spoiled that.
So next episode is they're no longer the Akiba Rangers, and but when Ymeria and Blue decide to just kind of go on their own way, but Akiga decides, like, oh no, I can't give up being Akiba Red, and he puts on, like, this really, really
He makes his costume out of, like, cardboard to go to the Toei Animation Studio to say, like, yeah, I'm the real Akiba Red. But it's like, there's people that go to cons and write Gundam on, like, a cardboard box and wear it around. It's a bit more detailed than that, but it's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
It's that pathetic. Pretty funny, too.
And he walks out of the house like this, and there's just, like, this group of kids that just walk by, like,
No, like, his mom yells at him, too, and he's like, shut up! I'm gonna do this!
And he's like, quiet, Ma, you can't ruin my dreams!
You can't stop me from being Akiba Red for reals.
After this, he meets this long-haired guy that just hands him a Zoo-Kun, and he's like, what? Where'd you get this? I'm not going to give it to you if you ask me. Okay, no, I won't ask questions. I'll just take it. So he goes into the delusion world, and he finds Apaka's older brother, who's got, like, this, like, muzzle on his face. So then Mitsuki and Ymeria end up meeting up with Mao Sheena, who also hands them to the Zoo-Kuns and tells them to meet up with Akiga and fight Alpaca's brother. But it turns out it's all a trap, because what Mao Sheena is really trying to do is completely destroy the delusion world, because in the past few episodes it's been getting weaker and weaker. So as they're fighting, their, like, fight ends up, like, destroying the whole barrier between worlds, and basically the delusion world, anything that was in the delusion world is now in the real world. And
I was going to mention, like, that whole other subplot where, like, the girl gets that weird spider cancer on her thing, and, like, she has those candles that, like, apparently every time they use their Zoo-Kuns, it, like, a candle goes out, and if they all go out, she dies or something.
Oh, yeah, that's coming up.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
But it turns out that the long-haired guy is named Dr. Z, who's, like, the real leader of the marketing firm B Corporation. And he's also Hakusei's father. And Hakusei turns out to be the voice actress for Zikunawi. And they're like, and it's like just like a series of like quick, like plot twists, and they're just like utterly shocked. So, okay, and then we enter the last kind of arc. At this point, Hakusei explains about her father, like, divorcing her mother, and it's like, and then everything you mentioned about the, like, him being animator. And she during the wrap-up party of the final episode of Zikunawi, she received the Momo Zikuns and, like, a letter saying, like, to go into the delusion world and everything. Basically, most of this episode is, like, explaining the whole back plot. And during this episode, they meet up with this one character. What's his name?
Wait, which guy was this?
This was the second red.
Oh, you mean like the Interpol agent guy that shows up? Or is that someone else?
Yeah, that guy.
Okay, yeah. That was like someone's brother or something.
Yeah, it was Hakusei's like half brother. Like I guess her father like had
Yeah, like the thing with that is they introduce him as soon as like the Akiba Red guy gets an invitation to go work at the Pentagon because he's like the U.S. government is interested in him for being, you know, Akiba Red, and he's and then apparently the girl that he's interested in, like, he gets a phone call from her saying that she got a job in Virginia, so they're going to be close to each other, and he's like, oh man, everything's going to work out. And then, but at the same time, he doesn't want to leave being Akiba Red and leave the Akiba Rangers, and then. He's like, I'm turning this position over to the new, to the half-brother guy. Yeah. You take my spot.
Yeah. One thing I'd like to mention about this, and this does get brought up in the next episode, this whole, like, plot about, like, the Pentagon and everything is kind of a spoof on a much earlier Sentai series called Sun Vulcan. Basically, about halfway through that series, they replace the first Red Ranger with this other guy. But basically, well, I actually have seen that episode. Basically, the way it all worked out was, like, suddenly at the end of the episode, the first Red is, like, well, is suddenly offered this position at NASA to be, like, a test pilot. And, they're all like, oh, but who can we get to replace him? And he's like, hey, I have this friend who I've never mentioned before. He's going to be your new leader. And they're all like, oh, okay, yeah, that's good. And he just leaves forever, and no one makes any objections to this.
I guess it's kind of like how they got rid of the Blue Ranger during Power Rangers or Billy West role, because, like, it was during that whole thing where, like, he basically quit, so they wrote him off the show as, like, oh, he's teaching aliens how to fight in martial arts in some planet. We don't need him anymore. Yeah, they completely wrote him out.
Yeah.
I don't think it's, like, that ridiculous in Sun Vulcan, but...
It's sort of like what happened with CG, with us. Yeah, he went to his home planet, you know?
Yeah, we like how we wrote off CG from the podcast or from our last one. So,
yeah. Oh yeah, this episode also revealed a few other things that Dr. Z, now that he's back, now that he's like at the front lines, he decides to fire all the remaining chief clerks and turn the marketing firm B into the Delusion Empire, and he fires Malshina for Delude Knight, who's like this robot guy that like fights with a sword.
Yeah.
And then Hakusei gets that like spider scorpion tattoo thing on her neck, and they find out that she can only that like they can only use their power 16 more times. Because, like, the curse on her, like, neck has, like, this whole thing. Like, if they use their powers too much, she'll die. And so, yeah, Akagi decides to leave, and he hands his powers over to the new guy, Takuma, I think it's his name. Yeah. So he leaves, and basically the next episode is like the most, I think the next episode is like the most meta thing, the most meta episode of the series, arguably. Possibly the last episode might have been even more meta, but because the new red and yellow and blue decide, well, get like these new uniforms, and they go out and fight Delu Knight, and Akagi is just like, he's walking over to, he's like riding over to the airport, and he sees Maoshina, and she's wandering around like, she's like, I just got fired. And he's like, he starts thinking a bit too deeply. And he's like, wait a minute. Most Sentais replace their secondary villain in the middle of the series. And Sun Vulcan replaced their Red Ranger by sending him off to NASA. And I'm getting sent off to the Pentagon. And he's like, wait a minute, what if this is a show called Unofficial Sentai Akiba Ranger, and we're getting written off of the show?
Dun, dun, dun!
So, after they get, well, after the Akiba Rangers are done with their fight, they end, well, they lose Delu Knight, and they're in, like, this parking garage, and Akiga shuts up and
before we get to that, like, he runs away from like the US agents trying to get him down.
Yeah.
But they actually got an actual American to play that part because he spoke English and he's like, where are you going? Or hey, come back here. And there's like these two Japanese soldiers like FAMASs, which is like, wait, is the French Foreign Legion involved with this now?
Oh, yeah, yeah, he was,
I was like, just like, the Japanese military doesn't use FAMASs, I don't think.
Well, these were, like, I think these are supposed to be, like, U.S. military agents.
Yeah, but, like, the U.S. military doesn't use FAMASs, only the French does, and because I'm gun nerd, so I would know that.
And, yeah,
I've seen
it mentioned before, that the guns are, like, completely different than anything anyone other than the French uses.
Yeah, and they're obviously, you can tell that, like, from what I can look at, they're like, oh, those are airsoft guns.
And yeah, Akiga was trying to, like, try to get rid of his, like, deportation papers any way he could, and then he tried to rip them up when they showed up with the guns. And...
Well, like, he makes a paper airplane, he's like, you know, if I'm supposed to be written off the show, then this will come back to me, and it comes back to him.
Yeah, it's like he throws in the river, and then, like, these, like, forensic investigators are like, hey, we're trying to search the river for bodies or something, and throw the airplane back. He's like, wait, that means this is really a show.
So, yeah.
So he goes to the parking garage, and he meets up with them, and he's like, this is really a show called Unofficial Sentai Akiba Ranger. They're like, you've gone crazy, man. You can't.
You're full of it.
Yeah. And he's like, he brings up a thing that was mentioned in a previous episode that was like, if you stay still long enough in one of these shows, a sponsor, like, sweepstakes bar scrolls across the bottom of the screen.
Oh, yeah, this is good.
Yes. And he's like, okay, you don't believe me? Okay, stay still. Stay quiet. What are you doing? Shh, shh. And then I love this part because suddenly the sponsor scroll starts scrolling across the screen. And he's like, aha! And he grabs it. And like,
he grabs it and starts and tries to stop it.
Yeah. And he's like, quick, read it. And they're like, this is a this is a contest for unofficial Sentai, Akiba Ranger. They're like, what? And the new Red is like, I can't see it. And he's like, that's because he's part of this. He's part of the retooling the show. He can't see it because he was thrown in here by the writers who were trying to change this into a real Sentai show. And then suddenly the new Red decides, he suddenly gets a phone call and he's like, oh, I've been called back to the U.S.
He's been called back to Interpol or something. And then he gets on a motorcycle. No, he goes around a corner and then a split second later, he's like jetting off in a motorcycle. And he's like, see, they didn't take the time to actually animate the time between him on his bike and leaving.
Yeah. He's like,
it was like instantaneous that happened.
Yeah. He's like, they don't even care about the details anymore.
Yeah.
And Delu Knight is like yelling after the new Red. He's like, you were supposed to be my rival. We were supposed to fight to the death. And then Malshina is like, she's also found out about this, about like them being in a show. And she's trying to tell Dr. Z like, hey, we were just supposed to try to convert Akibara into like a more mainstream place. We weren't trying to take over the world. And he's like, oh yeah, how did I get here? And as he's realizing that his entire view has changed, he suddenly goes like, well, there's like this like weird like jingle that plays, like his whole expression changes. And it's clear that he's been, like, taken over by the writers.
Yeah.
So we get into the last episode. Well, the last main episode, I should say.
Right.
So they're all wondering, like, okay, we realize that we're a show now. And they were going to retool us. What does this mean about our show? And they're kind of... Oh, and they realize that the person responsible for all of this is Saburo Hatte, who's like the pen name for the writers that are been behind like all the Sentai shows.
Like every Sentai show, yeah.
So they're realizing like that he's the one that's been trying to retool our show. We got to do stuff they're realizing that now that they've realized their show, they're probably close to being canceled. So they're like, okay, we got to figure out all these subplots that we can do that won't be resolved in a single episode. So Mitsuki she's like, I have this rival that I have to fight in like 6 months. Then her rival comes through the door. It's like, I've broken my leg. We can't fight now. So you've won. And then Akagi is like, no wait, I haven't hooked up with my girl, with that girl I like yet. And then the girl calls up. She's like, hey, on the plane ride back from America, I saw this Sun Vulcan movie. Can you tell me more about Sentai? And he's like, I got a girlfriend now. and Yumeri's trying to think of something. Then she turns to one of the assistants in the cafe named Couscous, and she's like, Couscous, I love you. And then Couscous is like, I've always loved you too. And she's like,
oh,
she's
yeah.
Like, Yumeri, like, it's clear that Yumeri was probably just saying this just to throw in a subplot, but Couscous is like really serious about this. So Yumeri's just got like, oh my god, what have I gotten myself into? Look on her. So then they get this call from Delu Knight, and it turns out that he's captured the girl that Akiga likes. So they all have to go. Oh, and the way he word Delu Knight words is like, meet me at the usual warehouse. Like, because it's the whole. There's been a lot of jokes in this series about how they reuse locations. So they go to and they start fighting Delu Knight, and they're like, well, they start fighting him, and then they do their roll call, and they're like, okay, we'll fight you to the death in about 6 months. Bye. So they start having to fight him because of the girl that Kigo likes. So then suddenly Mal Sheena and Dr. Z come in, and they end up like beating the crap out of Delu Knight, and like Dr. Z like stabs Delu Knight in the chest and kills him. And
right.
So they're like, and Dr. Z is like, okay, we'll resolve this. Well, I'll make all sorts of new plans so we can extend this to 6 months. And they're like, okay, yeah. Dr. Z ends up having that same like an expression over his face. It's like, no, I'm going to fight you to the death now. Wake up, Delu Knight. I just hit you with the back of my sword. And Delu Knight stands up and he's like, and they're like, hey, he was dead. And then Dr. Z is like, and now you have to fight my Titan Boomerang, my giant button.
Like, yeah, we get into the part of the show where actually like there's a huge robot fight to end this off, and then like they find everywhere to try to extend the robot fight as long as possible, or think they try to end it or something, because I think what was it, Akiba realizes that this can't go on much longer.
Yeah, because it's like they realize that this is like everything's setting up to be the final battle, and I think there was like one point where they like trying to damage their robot in any way.
Yeah, so I'm looking on Wikipedia and it says that so they start battling, but he tries to destroy his own robot, or the Ishtar, or it's called It Ashar Robo. But anyways, he tries to destroy by targeting the missiles to fire on itself to prevent the inevitable giant robot ending. And he then offers to be stepped on by the Boomerang Titan. But Akiba Yellow throws a soda can that sends one of the flying boomerangs back at the mecha, resulting in Boomerang Titan being destroyed by its own weapons.
Yeah.
She just like lightly tosses the soda can and like it deflects. It does like so much damage to cause the boomerangs to come back on their own mecha. It's like that's such a like a new low for the show that the writers had to write in.
Yeah. And then the robot starts exploding and like the head almost falls on Dr. Z, and Akagi is like, no, wait, if he gets killed, this really will be the end. So he like shoves him out of the way. And So he does that, and then suddenly there's all these people just like flooding in, like all these people, like this crowd of people that they know, and it's like, oh no. No, this is definitely the end. This is one of the classic endings, and like they're trying to escape the crowd of people congratulating them.
Yeah.
So they go back to the cafe, and it turns out that Dr. Z and Hakase like made up their differences, and Dr. Z is reforming, and they're just really realizing that this is definitely the end of the series. So. But then they realize, wait a minute, Mal Sheena's still out there. We can still fight her. So they go to this convention center, and they're like, hey, we're going to fight you. And she's like, yeah, I'll fight you for the next 6 months. And they're like, yeah, and they get into this fight. And then suddenly over in the distance, there's this giant The End sign like rising. And they're like, no, we have to fight it. And then it's like a perfect analogy that they're actually fighting the end.
Are they like, fighting the creator of the show or something to try to keep it going?
Fighting an actual The End sign, like, and then like as they're fighting it, Akiba Red turns around and he sees this hand moving in front of this camera, which is supposed to be Saburo Hatsue, and he's like he's about to cover the camera, and Red is like, no, wait, this isn't the end.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
And then so, it's the end.
Yeah. It's the end of the last proper episode, I should say, because then we get into a clip show episode where like months after they've already lost their powers as the Keeper Rangers, because they receive this DVD that says, if you want a second season, look at this DVD and see what you've done wrong. So they watch through the thing, and it's got like it goes over the whole series, and it also has like all these little clips in it that are like clearly toy ads, because they look over the mecha and the gun and like these other all the like Sentai characters. There's like this one point where they're like, "Hey, there's also red. There's also Black Falcon and Deca Blue." And there's like this voice that's like, "Wait, why are you mentioning them?" Well, the reason they mention them is because like the toy line, those were the next two figures in the toy line. It's like it was a really blatant toy ad. So as they're watching this, towards the end, they're realizing, wait a minute, how long have we been watching this thing? And it's like about 22 minutes. And Red is like, oh, shit, no. He's doing it again. Saburo Hatte is trying to end the show. He's trying to fill up time for another episode. So they shut off the DVD immediately, and then they're like, oh, geez, we probably only have like 3 minutes left. What can we do? We need to make impact for our final 3 minutes. So they go into a closet and they put together these like cosplay. Well, they basically put together kind of the actual costumes. And they're like, well, without the helmets. And they're like, they're doing the roll call one last time. And Ymeria mentions, like, hey, now we can be in, like, stage shows and stuff. And then as they're waving goodbye, they're, like, listing off all these different plots they could do.
Yeah, they're listing, like, it's like a Christmas list of, like, well, I want, in the next season, you guys better wish that I fight, like, an axe machine gun and, like, something, it was something ridiculous, like, I have to do this and this and this, and you guys better give us, support our Kickstarter and stuff like that.
And then the series really ends. And the reason I mention about the stage show thing is there actually is a 14th episode. It hasn't come out on DVD yet, but it's a stage show that takes place after the series. I don't know what the plot is exactly, but information. But yeah, that's coming out soon. There's also a radio show I should mention. There's like a few episodes of a radio show done by the like actual actors. There's not much to mention there, but yeah, this series is definitely worth a look over, even if you're not
even though we spoiled everything for you, but still definitely check it out.
Well, it's still worth watching, even though,
yeah, it totally is. So I actually pulled up his Wikipedia page, like, when you first told me about the Maoshima character, like, her during porn. There's a whole Wikipedia page of, like, all her filmography of, like, porn titles. And I want to read some of these off, because these are hysterical. Let's see. One of them is, came out in 2006, is Hanukkah Support, Your Masturbation Time. And then immediately after that, like a month later, it's Sex on the Beach, Southern Island Paku Paku.
What? Those are ridiculous.
Hyper, Barely There Mosaic.
Barely, trying to find some. Barely There.
Kissing Fellatio, Top to Bottom Lip.
Why?
Apparently in the Wikipedia article, it was like, she doesn't do hardcore. It was like, I'm naked and jack off to me porn, which I'm like, okay. Let's see. There's Sexy Teacher's Secret Spot. There's RE Sex. There's Venus Style and Venus Style 2.
Oh, my.
Deep Impact, Hanukkah Cell Debut.
I'm serious. What is this, like, Japanese Jewish porn?
I don't think there are Jews in Japan.
As far as we don't know, let's see, there's Together with Teacher Hanukkah, Women's Perverted Nursery.
What is with all this Hanukkah stuff?
Is she Jewish or something?
I don't know. There's Repeated Death, Grand Orgasm.
Uh-huh. Repeated Death Orgasm?
That's a Fist in the North Star porn title. Sexual desire goddess Hanukkah in New York. She goes to New York. Yes.
Oh, man.
Dude, these movies come out like twice a month between like 2006, 2005 to like 2008.
Wow.
It's like her job was to like, all right, let's do a movie like every week and then we'll process it and make it and put it out once a month. Yeah, this is some of these titles you can pick up with Hanukkah. So yeah, definitely check them out online.
Oh, is her name Hanukkah?
Yeah, it's Hanukkah.
Oh, okay. I thought if you were saying Hanukkah, I was like, what?
Yeah, no. So did I. Like the Jewish holiday?
Man, my bad. I'm sorry we can't hear each other barely on Skype.
No, it's my fault. But I should mention, if anyone's like actually curious, this one site called grownupsinspandex.com, which subs like a bunch of like toku shows, they actually have subbed this one Hanukkah porn called The Sex. Like the title is just The Sex.
Is it spelled the correctly, like T-H-E or T-E-H?
T-H-E.
Oh, I wish it was the other way around, because that would be great.
But yeah,
if did you watch it?
No, I haven't.
You should show it in the student lounge.
She's even won awards for this stuff. She said like she was also recipient for the Best Actress Prize in 2007 Adult Broadcasting Awards. There's something about her having winning like the hottest body in 2006 or something.
That's funny. I didn't know they had awards for this kind of thing.
Well, I mean, they had porn awards that they don't really like definitely tell people about. They don't tell it to the mass media about like, you know, how it's you know, the Oscars or something, but they're out there.
And they get like a golden phallus or something.
I don't know. Maybe it's like a golden tentacle monster.
In Japan.
A phallic tentacle monster.
Probably, yeah.
Could be a golden penis. I mean, Japan does do like penis parades.
The what?
I thought they weren't allowed to show penises.
Well, but there actually are like penis festivals. CG told me all about this. I mean,
there is. Okay, yeah, that is true. They do. There's an actual religion in Japan where they actually worship the penis. Which, you know, I can't hate on that. I really can't.
I'm sure CG like knows all about that religion.
That's probably his religion.
Get him on.
Well, I mean, I'm for the heterosexual stuff, not the homosexual, because like, hey, you know, I worship my penis. Which, if women can want to help, you know, come over and worship it with me, then that's the easiest way to get laid. So,
okay.
I mean, that's my theory. I don't know how it works, but I did hear about that like years ago.
Does this like have a Wikipedia page or anything? I don't want to go into some like explicit website about this where there's like a bunch of photos of.
I guess you can just Google like penis religion or something in Japan. I don't know the best way to write. It's people who listen to this, tell us what this religion is. Because I've heard of it, but I don't know the time.
I did find a Wikipedia page.
Okay, yeah.
Kanamara Matsuri. This episode.
The steel phallus.
This episode is 2 hours and 40 minutes. I think maybe you should split it up.
Split it up.
Yeah, okay.
About that.
Indeed.
Wow.
Yeah,
can't show penis or vagina in Japanese media, is that right?
Yeah, they can't. They have to, like, put a mosaic over it.
That's so strange to me, because it's such a perverted culture, and yet they can't show genitalia. They have these weird censorship laws. It's very weird.
Well, no, dude. They got Kanamara Matsuri coming up on April 7th of next year. So anybody listen to this, if you like the penis, you should definitely check it out.
CG.
CG. CG.
Hold on. We have to read some of this stuff. It's crazy.
You want to read it out loud since you've been so quiet?
Yeah, sure. It says the Kanamara Matsuri is centered around a local penis venerating shrine once popular among prostitutes who wish to pray for protection from STDs. It is said that there are divine protections for business prosperity and for the clan's prosperity and for easy delivery, marriage, and married couple harmony. There is also a legend of a sharp-toothed demon, the Vagina Dentata, that once
which we saw in Wicked City.
That once hid inside the vagina of a young woman and castrated two young men on their wedding night. As a result, the young woman sought help from a blacksmith who fashioned an iron phallus to break the demon's teeth, which led to the enshrinement of the item. And this is not cited, so I'm going to say that this is vandalism. But if it's true, it's like the funniest thing I ever saw. It's so strange.
It ends with, today the festival has become something of a tourist attraction and is used to raise money for HIV research, which, good for them.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess.
Yeah.
Well, we freaking call this during Wicked City, even though this has been, the festival has been going on for like ever, so.
Yeah.
I mean, but no, we definitely, we basically mentioned the Kanemaru Matsuri before we even talked about it. So, we're pretty good at this.
They have something called the Honen Matsuri also, that has a 2.5 meter long wooden phallus as one of its main attractions.
I think that's, no, the Honen Matsuri, I think I've actually seen that wooden phallus on an episode of this guy who used to do, what was it? It was on Comedy Central. It was this guy who would basically, it was like a show where like this, you basically watch it at 4 a.m. drunk because it's about a drunk guy who goes to different parts of the country. Oh gosh, I cannot think of what it was called.
Is it gone?
It's this, what?
They don't air it anymore, do they?
No, they don't. It came out like 2002 or something. It was like a guy who goes to different locations, and it's like him just getting drunk and showing like, hey, here's what people in Japan do, or here's what people in Alabama do. And they only showed it like 1 a.m. on Comedy Central.
Huh.
Oh, I can't think of that show, but oh, gosh, I gotta find it. Maybe they made a reference on it in Wikipedia. Like, oh, gosh.
It says they spin the wooden phallus furiously before setting it down and praying to it. This is so weird.
I wish I could think of that stupid show, but
okay. What should I search? Comedy Central travel?
Try Comedy Central, like, list of TV shows. Hold up. Let me see if I can go to Wikipedia.
There's too many. They've been around, like, 20 years.
Is there any way to find it by decade? Like, within the past 10 years?
Drunk History?
It wouldn't be that. Let me see if I can try to find it. Hold up.
No, that's new.
Oh, gosh. If I saw the title, I would know. Maybe there's a way to show. Hold up. All right, let's see.
How about Comedy Central Penis Festival?
List of programs broadcast by Comedy Central. It'd be past, so.
Okay, Steve.
Steve, if you need to go, you can go ahead and drop off or say your final remarks.
Well, it's almost 3 hours, so he's kind of right.
Yeah, I know, but oh gosh, wait, no, I just gotta find what the freaking show's called. Crap. What is it called? Oh, man, this is gonna drive me insane. Because I've seen a couple episodes of this, like, back in high school.
If you find it out, like, later tonight or something, you could put it in the show notes.
Yeah, I think I'll just do that. Gosh.
Okay. Are we going to give up? Or
I'm not going to give up, but you can stop the recording, and I'll just post it in the show.
Okay. So, Josh, do you have a closing remark?
Pain is power.
And power is pain! Brother.
Okay. All
right,
Zionic?
Yeah, I think I said brother. I'll just go with that. Stay tuned for freaking Koichi Ohata month.
What are we doing?
Out of Parvula.
What are we doing first? Is it Genocyber or MT Geist?
I think we should do MT Geist.
All right, that's fine.
All right. All right. I guess we're done.
Yep. Still no word from CG at all.
Recording.
Here's the Onyx closing remark.
Okay, the show I was talking about is Insomniac with Dave Attell. Because Dave Attell had a scene where he was riding on a wooden phallic penis in Japan. So that's the show.
How'd you find it?
I had a look at that grand general list of like list of programs broadcast by Comedy Central.
Uh-huh.
And I looked at the past programming. So it's on that Wikipedia site.
Okay, it says 01 to 04. So that's about right.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Because I think, yeah, it actually did end like my senior year of high school. So that was like 2004.
Yeah. Mission complete.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Cybernauts Cast. Do you want more of what we got? If so, check us out over at our website at cybernautscast.wordpress.com. If you wish to leave us an email on, well, anything, then shoot one over at cybernautscast@gmail.com. Check us out on iTunes and leave a review, why don't you? We'll see you next week. Same Cybernauts time, same Cybernauts channel.
風が吹くのさ、シャバダバ。